We'll come this morning to Revelation chapter 4. I can't get away from this good singing you have here. I've never enjoyed anything in my life, I think, like it. The one thing you can sing. I'll tell everybody that when I go back. A little boy got saved in Scotland some years ago. I know his uncle real well, Andrew Borden. And when his nephew got saved, Andrew was away preaching for the weekend. And when he come back home, he said to the wee boy, he said, "I hear you got saved, Andrew." "Yes," he said, "I got saved, uncle, last night." He said, "How do you feel?" That generally, what they say in Scotland, "How do you feel?" He turned around and he said, "Well, I'm happier new when I'm no happy than I was before when I was happy." That's how he felt. That's how I feel too amongst you dear saints. I'm happier now when I'm not happy than I was before when I was happy. So any time I get down in the dumps, I'm coming down here to get my gas tank filled up. Chapter 4, and I want you to notice here the usage of a word, throne, T-H-R-O-N-E. You can count them as we get up. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 living creatures, full of eyes before and behind. There are no beasts in heaven, it's always living creatures. And the first living creature was like a lion, and the second living creature was like a calf, and the third had a face as a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, it had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come." And when those beasts, those living creatures rather, give glory and honor and thanks unto him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." 3 other scriptures I ask you to tell me just for the time being. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as his little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I want you to pay attention now to the other 2 passages I read, and you will see that the child has moved into a different position each time. The second one is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. In Matthew's Gospel, he's in the midst. In Mark's Gospel, I beg your pardon, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, first. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him. I believe the Revised says, by his side. And he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me." Excuse me. "For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." Now to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. When he came to verse 33, and when he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" And they held the peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. I'd like to consider with you this morning authority, delegated authority, and from this chapter here in Revelation chapter 4. 12 times I think you'll recognize that the word throne occurs. I was in Westminster Abbey shortly, and I remember seeing there one of the significant things. If you've never been there, you should sometimes. If you go over there, go to Westminster Abbey. And I saw the throne of Queen Victoria, where she sat. They have it there. It's just a piece of wood, but the memory of that dear woman. I believe she was a born-again woman. She left testimony of that fact. But I often think of the monarchy of Great Britain, one of the very few monarchies today. There are few thrones now in the world, either democratic or plutocratic or some other kind of cratic power. But there are very few thrones. And remember this, God's form of government is a monarchy. Behold, a king shall rule in righteousness, and princes shall reign in judgment. Man's form of government, I'm saying nothing against the government of the United States. I'm very happy to be here, very happy. I'm very happy to be an American. And I have papers in the House to prove that I am. I don't know about you, but I have papers from the United States government to prove that I'm a real American. Now, you may not believe it, but it's true. But I am so thankful for this beloved country of ours, the United States of America. I pray for it constantly. The President needs our prayers. All in authority need our prayers. But I must say what the Word teaches, that God someday will have a king. And he will rule in righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And the converse is true. Unrighteousness dethrones it. And I have witnessed, as you have in the past years, a continual deterioration in governments of the world. One thing I want to say here, and it's in connection, I didn't read this, it comes to my mind now. It's in connection with the temptation of our Lord Jesus. When the devil tempted him, you remember what he said? All these kingdoms will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But in Luke's gospel, the only gospel that says this, he showed them the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That little phrase there, the tricky little phrase, the good one too, in a moment of time. You know why it took a moment of time to do it? He knew that if our Lord looked at them very, very discreetly and wisely, he wouldn't take them. That's why. Have you ever went to a store, you men, and let me say, a man without his wife's like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. You men ought to love your dear wives. Because if it wasn't for your wife, you'd be coming out with two different kinds of socks, which I have done sometimes on, and you'd have a green tie with a yellow suit and so on. So your wife keeps you from that embarrassment. You ought to praise her and thank God for her. But the Lord turned around and he showed the Lord, the devil turned around and showed our Lord the kingdoms, now notice the plural, the kingdoms, plurality always spells disintegration. That is, one kingdom comes, passes away. Another king, it passes away. Another kingdom, the plurality, spells disintegration. The Lord Jesus refused the kingdoms because he saw the kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become what? The kingdom, the singular, of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. So it says he showed them the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. I went to a store. I never go now without my wife. Because you buy a suit, they can put anything on you and say you look smart and you look like a potato sack when you get home. But I remember a man, now this wasn't me, I remember a man who one time went to the store and he got one of those suits. And the fellow just got them on the show, just made for you. So he took it and come home. And after he got home, his wife was very irate. She said, take it right back. Was you ever told that? Take it right back. That's very humiliating. So he put the suit in the box, and took it right back. And he went back to the fellow that sold him the suit. Half an hour later, she saw him coming back with two boxes. And the wife says, what's he done now? So when he came up the stairs, what did he do now? Well, he said, Maggie, he said, that man was so nice. He not only convinced me to keep the suit, but he sold me another one. You'd be thankful you don't have a wife like that. You'd be thankful you wives don't have a husband like that. But he showed them all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Any crude salesman, he'll try to get rid of you as quick as he can. Don't look at this. Oh, just sit here. That's fine. Get in the box and away you go. That's a moment of time. The worthlessness of the whole system, it was all worthless. And the devil knew that the moment the Lord would take time to look at it, he knew, of course, he was omniscient. But he didn't know that. He thought that the moment he would look too closely, he wouldn't take them. That's why he showed them in a moment of time. Now, I want to speak on this morning for a few minutes on authority. We have seen, as I already said, a complete disintegration of authority in the governments of the world, in the church, in the home, in the individual. No man can rule anything that cannot rule himself. There's the answer. I have a bad temper. I lose my temper. You should lose it. Any man like that has no place in God's house. That's one of the things that's requisite of an elder in the assembly, that he might be chaste. That he might be a man who is slow to anger. I'm sorry to say, in many of the business meetings ever I went to, it was the opposite. I'm sorry to say that. And I'm not saying I don't. I know my weakness very well. But the man who can't rule himself can't rule anything. And so I want to read this with you, go over with you this morning on this very thing. And there's one verse I want to read. I won't ask you to turn to it, but I'll tell you what it is. It's in Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. There's a verse I think should be hung in every business meeting, in every assembly in the world. And before they start business, they should read that. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And so this throne, the word throne here, is a symbol of majesty. The majesty of God. Oh, just think of that. In this chapter we have seen the sovereignty of God. That God is the one who sits upon the throne. The transcendence of God. That he transcends everything in this world. Everything. That he is the absolute one. The covenant of God. The mandate of God, the mandate comes from the throne, the holiness of God before the throne, and the wisdom of God is seen in ruling the nations of the earth, the eternity of God, and the worship of God. You know, John fell down even in heaven, at the foot of an angel, and the angel said, worship God. You know, the flesh can't even be trusted in heaven. We always want to try to look at someone that's bigger and higher, and we follow them. But our Lord here is seen in this very chapter here, a throne was set. I like that word, set, established in heaven. It was set. Oh, praise God, the right man will get in someday, very soon. I am rather inclined to believe that the Antichrist may be living at this present time. I don't say he is, I say he could be. What events will happen the moment the Lord comes? The Lord should come today, and the church is safely taken home, then shall the wicked be revealed. And believe you me, it'll be a sorry day for this whole world when that happens. But events are happening so fast today that it's quite possible that the man of sin, the Antichrist, should be living, or could be living rather, at this very moment. And a throne then is established, it's set in heaven. The kingdoms, the plural, have become the kingdom, the singular, of our God and his Christ. How long will the reign be? He shall reign forever and forever. Bless God, all things will be subjugated to God himself, and God will be all in all. This is not a mirage, it's not a dream. If it is, don't wake me up, I love it. I think of the greatness of God himself as he stands, oh brethren, I feel in all our gospel halls. One of the things that we have disregarded is the majesty and the greatness and the holiness of God. Without the shedding of blood, no remission for sin. I see that on the table on the Lord's Day morning. But there's one aspect of that truth we forget. What is it? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Don't you ever try to come to a meeting? I don't know of one thing about it. Nobody has told me a thing. I don't listen to that when I go to meetings. I don't know a thing about one of you. But if you are not speaking to a brother or sister, you have no business here at the Lord's Supper. Not keeping the feast, but the old leaven of malice and wickedness. God says don't do it. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth. If any man sows discord amongst brethren, God says if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. Do you believe that? Well, if you don't, you talk to me after the meeting. I can give you many concrete examples of people I have known, one especially, who created trouble amongst God's people and said, I'll never put my foot back in your hall. He never did. The Thursday of that week, inadvertently, some way, there was a mistake made. He took poison. His wife had rats out in the backyard somewhere. She took potassium cyanide and made a cake. He come home from his work, and he was a big businessman, a wealthy man. He come home from his work. She went to the city of Basel to spend the day. And she left the cake out to cool, thinking she would be back before him. Some way, I don't know why, but he came back early that day, something he'd never done before. He smelled the cake. Oh, good. Went over, he ate a piece of it. And anyone knows the danger of potassium cyanide. She found his dead body lying on the floor. I have never put my foot back. God says you never will. If any man defile the temple of God, whoever he is, him will God destroy. Think it over. If you have any designs in any assembly to destroy it, God said, I'll destroy you. But God's house will be clean. Holiness becometh thy house. O Lord, for how long? I think we take too lax the thought of the Lord's Supper, that we can come in any time we feel like, just sit down any way we feel like at all. I'm not saying that here. Now, I don't know a thing. It goes on here. Not one thing. Nobody has. Our dear brother never said, and I wouldn't allow him to do it. He never tried to do it. No, I don't. I know he's a man that doesn't do it. But I've never heard one thing of any. I love you all. I'm only stating something that could be true of you. It could be true of me. God gave authority to Adam. I like this. He told Adam and Eve that they had to have dominion over the birds of the air. Not the Adamses. Adam and Eve. God always shows the distinction between man and wife. You know, Adam blamed Eve. He said, the woman thou gavest me. She gave me the fruit and I did eat. He blamed the woman. Of course, he's been blaming her ever since, hasn't he? You women to have a husband and he never blamed you. Well, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. He said, the woman thou gavest me, what was the inference? If you hadn't given me this woman, I never would have sinned. That was the inference. He threw the whole thing back in the face of God. God never speaks about man and woman as the Adam is. It's Adam and Eve. There's a distinction. While there's a unity there between the two, there are distinct personalities. Your wife and yourself, you may have a different way of doing things and living, but nevertheless, there should be that unity all through life, that nothing, indivisible, nothing should ever separate. I have no brief for divorce. God's word has, it has, of course, allows divorce. When I'm speaking about is remarriage during the life of the former partner. I believe God categorically forbids it. Now, if there are any today, I'm not referring to you because I don't know. But Revelation chapter 4, I saw a throne, a throne, a throne, a throne, a throne. 12 times. The throne of God said in majesty, and that is how the world is going to be dominated and ruled in a coming day. And so, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. Round about the throne, there was a bowl. I like that. You know, when I was a little boy, long, long ago, I one day went out and saw a rainbow. And I said to little Philip, I was told something. What was it? I was told there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That was that scotch coming up in me. And I thought, I'll go and get that pot of gold. So we started out. And the further we walked, the further that bowl went. And we come home at night, dog tired. We never got the bowl. We never got the pot of gold. But I remember the story well, how the bowl was put in the closet. And God said, I will no longer destroy the nation with a flood, or the world with a flood. A bowl in a cloud. One day in John's Gospel, there was a cloud came down in this world, but there was no bowl.
Old darkness surrounded the scene of our blessed Lord. And there was no token of a covenant there. It was justice, flaming justice from God, and judgment meted out unmitigatedly upon the head of our Lord Jesus. A bow without a cloud. But in the eternal state I see a throne. What's the throne? Above the throne there's a bow around about it, a bow. A bow in a cloud. I fly without a bow, but now a bow without a cloud. God's everlasting remembrance to mankind all over the millennium and the eternal state, that from now on justice will be in the hands and government will be in the hands of God himself. That's where it started. Government was upon this earth by God himself, and then it was delegated to man. As I said yesterday, he is supposed to have dominion over the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and everything that moveth upon the earth. And yet, I don't know about you, but I don't like dogs or cats or anything else. I don't have a pet of any kind. I don't, you can have them, that's all right, that's your business, but I don't like them. Especially when it's not. I have no dominion over these things at all. And yet I am supposed to have. Why? Because man lost his dominion because of sin. Now let me carry that just a little further. We're going to government. Have you ever known a man in government today that was ever elected on his integrity? They don't have an integrity because most of them have none. You go to vote. I've said to my wife repeatedly, who should we vote for? I don't know, Dad. You guessed as good as mine. Not an awful way. You've got two thieves and you choose one or the other. That's it. Now, if there are any politicians here, I'm not saying you're a thief. I'm just saying this is the norm. Oh, they're all good men and never did a thing in their life. They're loyal to the country. And they'll all reduce taxes. We have more taxes now than ever we had. But the thought is this, that no man can govern any man that has never governed himself. In the church, in the home, in the world. And homes are broken up. Why? Because the man's to blame, not the woman. Oh, you have had that before. It's true. God will hold the man as being the one in absolute authority in the house. He's not the boss, he's the head. That's a different thing. Christ is not the Alpha only and the Omega, the first and the last. He's the head of the church. And a head means government and subordination from people who are under him. I know what I said and not the other day, I say so many things, but I'll say it again. Subordination and inferiority are two different things. The woman is never inferior to the husband. In fact, I know a lot of husbands and wives, and the woman is a superior. You should pat me in the back when you get out today for saying that. But it's true. There's some men unfit, unworthy to be called a husband. But because a woman takes the place as God has given her to be in subordination, subordination is not inferiority. I was subordinate to a man who I worked under. And one of them one day said to me, I don't believe when I was speaking. I don't believe in eternal hereafter. I believe, he says, when a man dies, he dies like a dog. And I shot back and said in front of another group of men, I said, that accounts for a man who believed he died like a dog, living like a dog. And I didn't know it, but he was living like a dog. And he threatened to get rid of me. I wasn't caring who he did it. Subordination. Sure, I was subordinate to him, but as far as inferiority, he was inferior to me. Now the woman's the same. In the church, whether it be in the church or in the home. If Johnny needs to be spanked, it's the husband that should do it. Not the woman. Oh, I know some preachers today, and I'm not speaking disparagingly about anyone. I'm just saying I know this. I know men in different sects are out preaching. They're serving the Lord. The poor woman's back in the house with 4 or 5 kids. And they're crying and they're sick. And she has to cook and get them to school and wash their face and wash their garments. He's serving the Lord. He's being taken out to homes and gets a nice dinner. And he'll sit down in the great big chair and say, you know, brother, what's wrong with the assemblies? Oh, I've had this all happen. What's wrong with the assemblies? But my friend, the one who's out in the work is the poor woman back in the house. That's the one. And that's the one that God will bless. It is. God delegates authority to the man. There was an illustration of this in Eli. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they sinned against the Lord and he restrained them not. What happened? Because Eli failed to break his heart about the house of God, he broke his neck in the house of God. He fell off a chair and broke his neck. We don't have men today who break their heart and moan about the condition of God's things in the home and in the assembly. I tell you, there'll be more broken necks amongst God's people. You are responsible as a man for the administration of government in your home. God will hold you. And if Johnny needs to be spanked, you're the one that should do it, not the mother. I got a spanking many a time from my mother. I deserved it too. But the reason I got it from my mother is because my father was dead. But the delegated authority happened now to her. And there was a big, they call it a cat of nine tails. I never saw nine, but there was eight, I think. But anyway, it was just the same. It hung behind the door. And I remember one day a woman saying to my mother, she says, "You'll kill him." "No," she says, "you never killed anybody giving them a good licking." Well, I thought I was half dead many a time. It was good for me.
Good.
And so here we come to this section here. I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven. One sat on the throne. Oh, the majesty of God himself. Now, let me take you back to this thought here of the little child, and they show how this works out in those three different stories. Show the whole thing working out by illustration. They're walking down, and each occasion, the disciples are walking down together. What do you think the discussion was? They discussed among themselves who should be the greatest. Oh, that doesn't happen with you, doesn't it? There's not a man here that wants to be in the hind end, is it? Some recently I passed a little boy, he was crying. "What are you crying for, son?" "What are you crying for?" He said, "We're playing train." They had the tails of the coach tied like this, and one boy was the engine, and the little girl behind was the caboose, and they were running down the street, and he was crying. I says, "What are you crying for?" He says, "I hate to be the caboose all the time." He was in the hind end. He didn't like, he wanted to be an engineer. So I had to stop the train and get him placed in the place where he should have been. There's no man here that wants to be in the hind end all the time. I don't care who you are, speaking to everybody else. You want to be something, that comes up in you, doesn't it? Or you're not human. And so they discussed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. You know, that's why I believe that Peter never was the first pulpit role. I can hear Peter. He's a boastful man too, a lovely man, dear man of God, but hear that boasting in what I'm talking about in all of us. If he had been the first pulpit role, you know what he said? "What are you fellows talking about? What are you talking about being the chiefest among, don't you know I'm the Pontifex Maximus? I'm the Supreme Pope." He didn't say that. Because he was discussing like the rest, who among them should be the greatest. And all the troubles in homes and families and governments is because of this one thing. "I want to be the greatest." Now the Lord took a little child. Notice what he did. He sat this little child down right in the center. He didn't say to the little child, "If you become like Peter, James, and John, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom." He didn't say that. He said to Peter, James, and John, "If you become like this little child, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom." Not childish, childlike. There's a danger when we all get old, isn't there? And I'm getting there too. I was telling a lady the other day, there, 30 more years, I'll be 97. But there's a danger when you get older, becoming childish. God be against it, brother. God be against it, sister. The older you get, the older we all get, become more childlike. That's it. And the Lord took the child and he placed him in the midst. I like that. Here's divine sovereignty. Here's the midst, the center of life. It has to be surrounded around this little child. The simplicity, the artlessness, the purity, the sinlessness, you might say, of a little child. My brother Archie Graham here, he's here from New York, and he knows the man I'm talking about, a dear old brother called Bob Doughty. He was an English brother, and he was a whale in the South Seas, and he used to have so many quaint sayings. One time he said that nothing in this world, he said, "I have ever seen like the 10 pink toes of a little baby." It's shone through, you know, the blanket. 10 little pink toes. How true. There's nothing sweeter in all the world. And so the Lord took a little child, and he placed them in the midst. The center of life. But the circumference of life. In Luke's gospel, he took a little child and the child moved again. It's the same group again. And they're discussing the same subject, who among us should be the greatest? And the Lord this time took a child and he set him by him, by his side. I like this. The side's always the place of equality. And so he sat the child by his side. This is the circumference of life. Everything that pertains all around life, the great big circumference of life, the child now is by his side. Oh, how sweet. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came from heaven, humiliation always precedes exaltation. Who, being in the form of God, found it not robbery to be in equality with God? Who could be in equality with God but God himself? Any man that tries to argue that Jesus Christ was not God, he doesn't know his Bible, he doesn't know common sense. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be in equality with God? He made himself of no reputation. What's reputation? Character, my friend, is what a man is. Reputation is what a man appears to be. The Lord never appeared to be any more than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so he set the child by his side. A place of circumference or equality. But the last one, I think, is the best of all. It's the control of life. The same group again. The same Lord Jesus. The same child. But the child this time has moved again. In the first one, it was the center. He put him right in the midst. In the second gospel, we read Luke's gospel, he put the child by his side. But I think Mark has the nicest of all. You know what he says? He took the child up in his arms. I love that. There's something sweet about that. He took the child up in his arms. What does this suggest? Not only the circumference of life, not only the center of life, but here we have the very control of life. He holds him in his arms. And it's only the man who is controlled by Christ that can control others. What does it say about the elders? He must have a good report of them that are without. Why not within? You ever think that? Because he hasn't a look there, he'll never get it. Any man as an elder, I've been in that, I shouldn't call it a position, in that grace, shall I say, for some years. And if you're looking for something like that from those within, you'll never get it. But you must have a good report from them that are without. Every man should speak well of you. If you don't know how to rule your own life, how shall you take care of the church of God? And so here we have this tremendous statement here of Revelation. A throne was set in heaven, and he that sat was to look like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round the throne, in sight like unto an animal. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. All the way down, a throne, a throne, a throne, a throne. Delegated authority to the Son of God, that he is absolute in all his rule, and his will shall be done on earth, even as it is done in heaven. Let me pause here for a moment. I said perhaps this the other night, but I say it again with more force. We are perhaps looking... Time alone will tell how true it is that we are perhaps looking at the last fragments of democratic government in the United States of America. Wickedness? Sure. Fear? Sure. It's gripped the nation. And the next president who gets in, whoever he is, he'll have to deal ruthlessly with sin, with law. We'll have to put teeth in the law, or else the country goes to pieces, goes to sea. And so the one thing demands another, a dictatorial power. You do it, you die. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed, what? Speedily. The hearts of the sons of men are fully set to do evil. And the new trial, the idea will have to be thrown out. I am in favor of a new trial for a man who has a doubt about his guilt. I am not in favor of any new trial for any crook that's been proved absolutely a crook before the eyes of the nation. And the sooner we deal ruthlessly, oh, you say I'm against capital punishment? You may be. You have the right to say what you think. But I never see where it was abrogated in God's holy word. Never. God will see to it that every transgression and every disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward. And God is no respecter of persons. Even our gospel holds. I heard the man preaching one day and he said, if you don't get, if you die without Christ, you may go to Hades. We're afraid to use the word hell anymore. Not that I love to use it. But my friends, the facts have never changed. God's principles never change, never. And God says every transgression and every disobedience shall receive a just recompense of reward. And there is no respect of persons with God. And this lackadaisical way of government in our world today is bringing on this totalitarian power, and our ecumenism, our ecumenical movement of the one church is hastening that on. I hear sometimes things I get amused at. Go into a car, again in the morning when I get up, I say, Lord, lead me to someone to sit beside me, that I might give them a message, that poor is a sinful sinner, that would be suited for them. And I came in the bus one day, shortly before I left my car. And you made it come round to me. John, he says, what's this ecumenic thing? I looked at him, I said, what? He says, ecumenism. And I thought, I never heard that name before, but that's a good name, ecumeniacs. That's what it is. One church. Now, you couldn't put 10 people in a hole or a church anywhere. I don't care where you go and have them agree for a short time. Good. There's always one there, no matter who they are. It could be John Mark, who stand up and say, I'm the greatest in the kingdom. That's it. You can't tell me any different. Don't look at me so holy looking and so pious looking as if you never did that. It applies to you just as well as anyone else. There's that in you as well as in me that wants to be something. And God says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, but came down and down and down and down. And because he went down into the obedience of death, even the death of the cross, then that precedes what? Humiliation precedes exaltation. God, therefore, has highly exalted and given him a name which should above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Couldn't you say hallelujah, what a Savior? Thank God we have such a one. What should we do? We think of this. We think of this government. I saw a throne and him that sat upon it. Oh, the majesty. Have you ever seen something like that being a Briton? I have seen coronations. I remember this King Edward VIII, who was at the 8th, no, the 7th, the 8th abdicated the throne. But the 7th, I remember in the city of Edinburgh, when I was taken up there and saw the great procession of King Edward VII as they travelled along Princess Street in Edinburgh. And I was only a little boy, and I started to cry. I couldn't see, and a big policeman took me up in his arms and had me on his shoulder. And there I saw the king. And you know the king waved to me? He did. I waved back. Talk about royalty. There's some royalty in my blood too. But I have seen a deterioration there in the last few years. King Edward VIII, the one that followed, not after, but shortly after, he abdicated the throne for the woman he loved. Forget about the government. I'm after myself. And so he chose a path that our dear Lord never would have chosen. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He's now set down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. And so here we have this one sitting on a throne. All the time it would take to go through this. Sitting upon the throne, his majesty, his greatness, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his infinity. God, absolute. And the whole world now, authority, is delegated to him. Not only power, but authority. Authority is a means to use the power. There's men today that are power mad, they're maniacs. And they don't know how to use it. But our Lord Jesus Christ knows. What is it? The simplicity of a little child. That's it. The man is going to be great, and this is a principle, mind you, brethren. The man is going to be great in God's kingdom, and God's house is a principle that's never been abrogated. He must take the place of a little child. In the midst, yes. By his side, correct, in his arms. How sweet. Not childish. Childlike.
Oh, how we fail in that, don't we? Somebody speaks about you. You know, brother, if somebody speaks about you, he must be worth speaking about. You never speak about anybody, it's not any worth. So anybody that talks to you, talks about you, and they speak about you, somebody says, so-and-so said this, he must be worth speaking about. Think that over. And you'll thank God. If what they say is not true, then look to prove it. If what they say is true, then be ashamed and confess your sin before God. But I never worry about people talking about me. It doesn't bother me. As long as what they say is not true. So he sat upon the throne, and all delegated power and authority is given unto him. And round about the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind, and the first was like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third like a face of a man, and the fourth as a living creature was a flying eagle, and the four living creatures had on them six wings about them, and were full of eyes within the rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. And then they took the verse 10, and the four and lived 20 elders fell down, which is the church, before him that sat in the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. O brethren, what a lovely day we will come to when our Lord Jesus Christ reigns. I'm looking forward to that blessed day. I really mean it. I am looking forward. This is a thin, thick world. This world is all a fleeting show for man's illusion given. The joys of life, the tears of woe, deceitful shine, deceitful flow. There's nothing true but heaven. How true. And when I get my papers on the morning week, the weekday mornings, I get a paper delivered. I read the paper, not to see if the Bible's true, but I read my Bible to see if the paper's true. And you know, there's one thing about the St. Petersburg Times. It tells me almost every morning that he's on the way. I like that. I like that. He's on the way. Well, it doesn't say these words, but it gives you facts. And I look at it, and then I get my Bible, and I look at that, and I say, a little closer, a little closer. I can hear the shout beginning to the crescendo. Surely, I come quickly. I hear it getting louder. And my request comes from my heart. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm looking forward to that blessed day. Thy will shall be done on earth, even as it is done in heaven. No more divisions amongst God's people. No more of that. No more saints set to the back. No more of that. I was telling some friends this morning, a dear brother and some of the new doctor, Northcote Beck, that I were very dear friends. Many a time I was with them. And I remember one time they told me of a mission. She was 50 years in Africa. And she come home to an assembly in this country. The first Lord's Day morning, she went. She had no letter of commendation. She had a letter, but it was in her trunk in another ship. It hadn't arrived. So she went to this place. She presented the letter. And one of the brethren, very indiscreetly and wisely, said, we don't know who you are, so you better take a back seat. She went to the bank and sat down. Dr. Deck said, she said to me, John, I had a most blessed time. He looked at her, he said, my dear sister, what can be most blessed about that? She said, you know, when the brethren asked me to sit at the bank, you know what happened? What? She said, the Lord came back and sat down beside me. And I turned around to him and I said, I'd rather been the woman that was placed at the back than the man who placed me there. You can think what you like about me. I'm not worried about that. But all the hardness of a human heart, wanting to be something, not their love for God's holy word, not at all, the love to be the chief man amongst the brethren. If you've never read Napoleon Noel's two volumes on the history of the brethren, read it, and that'll take all the starch out of anyone. What we are going through today in many places, the church went through years ago in the same way. They all know better. I could take you in Pittsburgh to a place, a cemetery, a lovely cemetery. I can show you this one here, all around Christians. There they are, waiting for the great moment of the resurrection. They couldn't get along while they were living together.
And I stood there one day and I said to my brother, they're all peaceful now. They're peaceful now. What is it? We finally take this delegated authority that God has given mankind. We've lost it, as it were, by the power, being power conscious all over the world in every phase of life, in government, in homes, in assemblies. It's me. That's it. Deep down over the false humility, I walk around as if I'm one of the chief men among the brethren. And deep down in my heart, I hate anyone that tries to get over me. That's it. And just in a meeting recently, the brother said to me, he said, I don't like that hymn you gave out. I said, well, I did. Thank you. Walked on. That's it. Well, there was somebody liked it, and I know there's an awful lot liked it because they sang it. Should I be controlled, my men that don't like things? I found that those men can't control themselves. That's it. That's the secret. They've never learned the secret of the little child in the midst, by his side, in his arms. When we come to learn that, then we'll know that this authority has been given. So all down through the chapter, his sovereignty, his transcendence, his covenant, his mandate, his holiness, his wisdom, his eternity, and then the worship, the everlasting worship of all his people of all time. How many? 10,000 times 10. How many is that? 100 million. Figure out, you'll see. 100 million. And thousands and thousands, an indeterminate number of people saying what? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tribe and people and nation. Then all the congregation of heaven said, Amen! Worthy, O Lord of thou, to receive many diadems. And upon his blessed head, these diadems have been placed, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a Savior we have. I'm longing for that blessed moment to see him. Aren't you? Wouldn't you like to go? Would you like if the Lord came today? My, I don't like that. I'd hate to drink tea as weak as that. Would you like if the Lord Jesus Christ came today?
Amen.
That's right. Don't be afraid. I know Brother Willie won't put you out. Amen. Amen. Even so, come what? Lord Jesus. Oh, may he hear our cry. May our hearts be waiting and yearning for him when he comes. Mr. St. John, whom I knew very well, told me at being in Scotland one day, and he went to an old lady he knew, and she was an old grandmother. They called her Granny over there, and they said, Granny, when do you think the Lord will come? And Granny looked up, she says, hey? He spoke a little louder. He says, when do you think the Lord will come? And then she said this, I'll interpret for you. She says, I didn't can. Didn't, that's I don't. Can means knowledge. I don't know. I didn't can when he's coming, but I'll be very glad to see him when he comes. Won't we all? Won't you be glad to see him? In a moment. Oh, the blessed joy of meeting, all the desert past, all the wondrous words of greeting, he shall speak at last. He and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share. Mine, to be forever with him. His, and I am there. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You close, brother? In a hymn? You have a hymn? What is your favorite hymn? You have a hymn, some of you?
Yeah, Midst the Darkness,
Storm and Sorrow, One Bright Gleam I See. You know the number, brother?
404.
404. Do you want to sing one part? One. Just the first verse only. Number 404. Could we stand as we sing? Before we sing, may I ask Brother Graham to close in prayer after we sing, remain standing, then the meeting will be over.
Midst the darkness, storm and sorrow, one bright gleam I see. Well, I know the blessed morrow, Christ will come for me. Midst the night, I see.
keep a resolution. Our heart rejoices as we know that to him shall be all the praise and the glory. He who loved us and gave himself for us, brought us out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. And so this morning, our Father, we have been rejoicing that he is the one that is to be exalted and made very high, that all heaven will rejoice with him in the finished work of Calvary, as a lamb once slain. Rejoice our heart through the day with this message, and may it linger in our hearts and minds, and may it be indeed that which the Word of God tells us, that will purify our hearts and minds, our thoughts and actions, to his glory. Bless our brother as he continues with this ministry, and may he be filled with thy wisdom and power and the function of the Holy Spirit. We think of thy people everywhere. We ask a blessing upon the household of faith, the men of those ill. May they be looking up and be strengthened in that faith that looks above and sees him on the throne. Take our thanks, our gratitude, our worship, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.